Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
A windy Saturday here at News Talk 830 WCCO. Once again, that red flag warning in effect until 6. Once again, that's until 8 o'clock tonight. And that includes much of central and southern Minnesota, including a good portion of the Twin Cities area. And that extends all the way into South Dakota and much of eastern South Dakota under that red flag warning. Once again, very dry and the winds are howling. Right now we're going to go outdoors. Steve Kearney joins us. SteveKearneyOutdoors.com. Steve, where are you today?
Good afternoon, Steve. I am in Sioux Falls, your favorite place, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, at the Sioux Empire Sports Show.
And, nice!
Hanging out with everybody, but I have got a tremendous walleye hangover from the Missouri River. It was great. First time out this week, got out there. I stayed at the Arrowwood Resort out there. They took care of me. I had some groups for 2-3 days. Beautiful, 75 degrees, dead calm. Walleyes were biting very well. It was awesome. I am really in a good mood, Steve-O.
Yeah, let's talk about where you found fish and how all that went.
Well, you know, it was kind of interesting. Last year at this time in March, I was catching a lot of fish in very deep water, 26, 28 feet of water, but it took me about 3 hours on the first day to find them, and they were up in 9 and 10 feet of water, which is very unusual. But we do have an early spring. Water temperatures are definitely accelerated, so I was a little bit surprised, but I somehow stumbled on them. We pulled it off. It was great. Tiny little jigs, little 16-ounce jigs, light line, worked very well. 16, 18-inch walleyes. It was beautiful. A lot of people from Nebraska, Wisconsin, Iowa. It was quite a turnout because the 2 days were so beautiful. So it was excellent. It was just a great first time out. Everything worked on the boat, no problems. So that's what you want.
Yeah, no doubt. And this is a trip you really look forward to every year because it kind of kicks off the year for you.
I hate leaving, actually, Steve. I really do. Right. I want to stay there. I want somebody to adopt me so I can stay there. No, it's great at this time of the year. Those fish are way ahead of Minnesota fish right now. They're in the pre-spawn. It's just going to get better and better. I did get some news today about Lake Traverse. They had that's my next destination coming up here in a week or two. They had a pretty good fish kill on the north end. The news is just kind of coming out right now. A lot of crappies, walleyes, smallmouth bass, and nobody really knows why. It wasn't like winter kill. You know, with the thick ice and heavy snow. And so they're really, the DNR people are really, you know, not sure what's going on. I mean, it's, you know, the temperatures are fine, but, you know, the ice was, there wasn't much for ice. There was no snow cover. So they don't really know what the cause is. So I saw a minor fish kill there last year, but this one seems significantly bigger. So we'll have to wait and see. I think everybody in Western Minnesota is very concerned, and you know, we'll certainly find out. They're going to take those dead fish in and test them and see if it's chemical related or, you know, sure. Something's going on. So kind of bad news, but you know, I guess we'll have to see. You know, the population in those lakes, Big Stone and Traverse, you know, are really high. You know, they've got a very good population. So maybe it's, you know, just a minor thing. So, you know, we'll have to see, and we'll have results probably in a couple of weeks.
Steve Kearney joining us, SteveKearneyOutdoors.com. Steve, got to get your thoughts on Blacks. It seems every year, and it looks like it's going to be catch and release only during the spring and early summer months at Mille Lacs. I mean, this is a super important fishery, but once again, it just seems as though that, you know, the rules and the regs are constantly changing on Mille Lacs as they try and manage what's going on there.
Yeah, I'm not real happy about that, Steve. I think that's going to be very detrimental to the business people up there, the bait shops, the resorts. I think they're really going to take a hit over this, and I know they're really up in arms about that. You can take a fish. They're going to open it up for one fish in August, but, you know, going up there in the opener in June and July, those prime months, I think it's really going to hurt those people. And, you know, you talk to the locals up there that fish that lake, that have cabins, that live there. They think the walleye fishing is good as it's ever been. And then you get the DNR version of it, and it's completely opposite. So I don't know. I think the local people that live there, that fish there all the time, are the people you need to listen to. And so I don't know. It's just one of those things, you know, that's the way it is. That's the law of the land. You've got to go along with it. But I think it's going to be really tough for those people, and I think people are going to move elsewhere because of that regulation. So, you know, we'll have to see.
All right. Steve Kearney joining us. Steve Kearney Outdoor, as you mentioned, headed up to Traverse. Here we are in the middle of March. Looks like a cooler week, winds early in the week. But the bummer is I just don't see any significant rain or snow, and we really need it.
I know, Steve. I looked at the 10-day outlook. You know, it looks like it's going to be freezing at night and like 32, 33 for a high. So it's kind of like Mother Nature is deciding we're going to kind of change things a little bit instead of being accelerated like I thought we would be. This is going to set us back a bit because it looks extended, you know, for quite some time. So you never know. We may end up kind of normal in 2 weeks where we're supposed to be. I don't know. It looked like we were really ahead of the game, but you know, the crappies, that's going to set the crappie fishing back quite a bit. Yeah. Instead of moving into the shallows, I think it's going to be a good 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, unless we get some good warmth to get them in the shallows. So I wouldn't be in a real big hurry crappie fishing right now, even though the lakes up in North Country, Northwestern, just opened up in the last day or two. So there is open water now, but the water is going to be cold in the 30s. And it looks like it's going to be that way for a while. So I would say a couple of weeks, get a little bit of warmth, and that'll, you know, kick things going. And, so it's funny how Mother Nature likes to kind of correct things, right, when you think you got something going here, it's going to be early. Well, probably not.
Yeah, I'm sure the water skiers and the tubers and all the people that want to be out on the personal watercraft thinking, yeah, we're going to put in April and we're going to go. And it's funny how things change. It is. Today, it feels like March. It feels like the middle of March with temps around 40 and a lot of wind. And by the way, we do have that red flag warning, so people be aware of that. Central, southern Minnesota, all of eastern South Dakota. It is just absolutely no open flame outside today. Because of the dry conditions and those winds. All right, Steve, safe travels back from Sioux Falls, and we'll do it again next week.
That sounds great, Steve. Have a great weekend.
All right, there he is, Steve Kearney joining us, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. And, oh, by the way, our outdoors coverage continues Sundays from 5 to 6. Rob Dreisline from the Outdoor News has a show chock full of information. We have another state title decided. It just went final a moment ago. Albany led most of the way in this game today at Williams Arena, and Providence Academy roared back to win another state title today. Providence Academy wins it 81-78, but once again, Albany got off to a 9-0 lead early and led most of the way in this game. Providence came back to win it 81-78. Heartbreaker for Albany in that one. 4:15, quick break. We'll come back. The Rink Live. Jess Myers will join us. Golden Gopher men at home tonight against Michigan in the Big Ten tournament. Golden Gopher women in the NCAA tournament. They went to overtime and are still in overtime against Clarkson. We'll get the latest from Jess here on News Talk 830-WCCO. It is Golden Gopher women's and men's hockey on center stage today. One team on the road, one at home tonight. And let's start with the NCAA women's quarterfinals. Jess Myers joins us from the rink live. And Jess, first of all, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm actually at the rink live, XL Energy Center right now. Team Minnesota PWHL with a 3-1 lead over New York after two periods. Pretty dominant performance by the team in purple here. But New York got one late in the second. We'll have to see what the third period plays out, but this Minnesota team is pretty good.
Yeah, they had good result there. And overtime in the NCAA Women's Hockey Tournament, Minnesota 2-0 lead early, Clarkson roared back, and now they're in the first overtime, tied at 2 very late in that first overtime.
Yeah, Clarkson, Gophers, like you say, led 2-0. Ella Huber with a nice goal to give them a 2-0 lead. Clarkson chipped away, clawed away. In less than 2 minutes left in regulation, Clarkson pulls the goalie, and one of those, you know, perfect hockey plays. You shoot from a bad angle, you bank it off of somebody's skate in the net, and here we are in overtime. Gophers had a power play in overtime and didn't score. Clarkson had a power play in overtime and didn't score. But I tell you, if the Gophers manage to pull this one out, they better let Abby Murphy sleep for about 3 days. I don't think she's left the ice at any point in this overtime. And you know, you see just what a dominant player she is for Minnesota and how important she is.
Yeah, and a couple of blowouts involving WCHA teams. Number one, Ohio State, every bit the part, leading 6-0 in Columbus in period number two. And the Golden Gophers know how good they are. I still can't get over when they came into Ritter and just absolutely thumped the Gophers two in a row. The Buckeyes are the team to beat.
Yeah, Minnesota Duluth survived a double overtime game to get to that one. And, you know, I don't know how much the Bulldogs had left in the tank going against that Ohio State team, which is just as good as everybody knows they are. We've seen it all season. So we will have at least one WCHA team in the Frozen Four in Durham, New Hampshire. And then Wisconsin playing tonight against St. Lawrence, and they're looking to be that other WCHA team as well. And then we could get three if the Gophers manage to pull this one out in overtime now.
Yeah, and Colgate leading Cornell 3-1, or beat Cornell 3-1. So Colgate is through to the women's Frozen Four. Meanwhile, double duty for you tonight. I would assume you'll be at 3M Arena at Mariucci, Minnesota and Michigan in the Big Ten tournament.
Bob Motzko has been the coach of the Gophers for 6 seasons, and this will be the 6th time his team has played Michigan in the Big Ten tournament. That's just, you know, what a rivalry these two have developed. And you talk to some of the players, for all that talk about the old WCHA and, you know, North Dakota and St. Cloud State and Duluth and some of those great rivalries they had, and frankly, they still have those rivalries. They play those teams, as much as they can, it seems like. What we're seeing here is kind of the rebirth of a great Big Ten rivalry between Minnesota and Michigan. It should be a good one tonight.
Yeah, and then on the other side, number 7 seed Ohio State, chance to pull off a major upset against Michigan State.
Steve Rolick, the coach of the Buckeyes, you know, who was a star player at Hill Murray, went on to win a national championship at Wisconsin. I said he also must have some sort of title or ownership paper to his old alma mater, because the Buckeyes have not had a good year. Valentine's Day, they had one win in the Big Ten, but for whatever reason, they owned Wisconsin this year. They beat them twice late in the regular season in Columbus, and then last weekend they went 2 out of 3 in Madison, so the Buckeyes are moving on with a chance to extend their season by at least another week, and they go to Michigan State. We all know about Michigan State. They won the Big Ten regular season, just an outstanding top-to-bottom team. There's some real excitement for college hockey back in East Lansing, a team that's going to be going to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2012 this year. So that should be a fun one as well.
Yeah, and let's get an update, Jess. NCHC, this is interesting, and really the talk of the day. Josh Wheeler brought it up to me. Really ugly hit on a St. Cloud State Husky last night.
Yeah, and tough to see, you know, and just we keep thinking we're gonna legislate that out of the game, and you just hate to see that kind of thing.
Yeah, and St. Cloud State, once again, close to the cities. You got UMD, Denver, Miami, North Dakota, and then of course Western Michigan and St. Cloud State.
Yes. By the way, quick update from Potsdam, New York. We're going to go to a second overtime. Minnesota and Clarkson still tied 2-2 in the women's hockey quarterfinal round.
All right. And then your thoughts on the NCHC and, of course, coming up on their tournament at the Xcel Energy Center.
And it's going to be last of its kind. You know, they're going to go to Campus Sites after this year.
Yep.
So folks who enjoyed the NCHC tournament, which will be in St. Paul next weekend, this will be the last chance to see it, at least in this building. This is an interesting league. You know, North Dakota, we've seen a lot from them. And I frankly wasn't that impressed by North Dakota when I saw them early in the season. But like they often do, they've been kind of a resurgent team and have played very well of late. They won their conference. Seems like they win that conference every year. Don't sleep on Denver. They're a very, very solid top-to-bottom team. And here's the team that kind of has me excited. Colorado College, which has been kind of been in a rough spot for a long time now. You know, they were a power in the 2000s. Haven't been to a Frozen Four or even to the NCAA tournament in a long time. Looks like they're going to get in this year. They've got a good coach, and they've got one of the best goalies in the league. Kid named Caden Embarico out of Aspen, Colorado, of all places. He's really backstopped them this year. They came into 3M Arena at Mariucci and got a win this year earlier. So look out for the Tigers. I think they're a fun team.
And then over in the CCHA, give us a quick update on where that stands.
Bemidji State is hosting Lake Superior State. That's coming up here today. Bemidji State, of course, your regular season champion. Lake Superior State, I saw them last Sunday. They went to St. Thomas, which was a second-place finisher in the league regular season, and the Lakers come out of nowhere and win 2 out of 3 at St. Thomas, so they're moving on as well. And then don't sleep on Minnesota State Mankato either. You know, they've won the league seemingly every year for about the last 10 years. They're under first-year coach Luke Strand, and they've had a nice year as well. They've got a playoff semifinal coming up here against Michigan Tech.
Yeah, and by the way, that one underway, 1-0 Mavs in the first period. That one up on the UP. All right, so they go to overtime. Minnesota and Clarkston, once again, you're at the X, and then you make the drive over to the U. 3-1 in the third. They're underway in the third period at the X.
Lots of hockey going on, and it's starting to feel cold again. It's starting to feel like March again. So maybe this is hockey weather. Steve, it was a year ago I drove up to Duluth for the Women's Frozen Four, and I don't know if you remember, but we had one of those freezing rain, snow, wind chill, icy things. My car looked like an icicle or like a popsicle by the time I got to Duluth. So I'll take this weather any day.
Yeah, it is weird. When I've made the drive to Duluth during the hockey season, it can be clear sailing from the cities all the way, and then you get to Cloquet, and then you keep your fingers crossed from Cloquet in. That's the way I've looked at it over the years.
Getting over that hill is always an adventure one way or another up there by Spirit Mountain. You're always going to get something. If it's rain or fog or wind, you just don't know.
Yeah, that is for sure. Oh, by the way, the Wild hanging in there. They take on the Blues. They are hanging in there. It's extraordinary. When you think they're cooked, they still have a chance, albeit an outside chance. They got a shot.
A couple of weeks ago, I compared him to Bruce Willis in that movie where he's been dead the whole time and nobody tells him that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I've got to change my analogy. I think they might be maybe like Jason from the Friday the 13th
there
movie.
You go.
Where you keep thinking you've got them killed, and they just won't go away. That might be this year's analogy for the Minnesota Wild, because you're absolutely right. Every time you think, you know, it's over, they're done, they get beat bad in Nashville, then they come back and, you know, win 3 more in a row within the division. They're in St. Louis tonight with another chance to get a big, important division win. So, yeah, I keep wanting to write these guys off, and it keeps seeming like they want to play later into April.
Yeah, and the schedule looks fairly favorable with 15 to go in the regular season, you know, but really every game is a playoff. It's like you got to go in and beat St. Louis. They're 2 points behind. You got to take care of the Blues and then go to the next one, which I believe happens to be the Blues.
And they got a new source of offense on the roster this week, a Russian player. His name, I believe the way you pronounce it, is number 22. I'm not even going to try. I'm not even going to attempt it yet.
We'll force Josh Wheeler to do that later in the show.
Sounds great.
All right. Once again, try to get to the finish line over there. Once again, Minnesota, PWHL leading New York 3-1 in the third period at the X. And then tonight at Mariucci Arena, Minnesota and Michigan, Big Ten tournament semifinals there. Thanks, Jets.
Good to talk to you, Steve.
All right, there he is, Jess Myers, from the rink live, literally. And once again, the Wild and the Blues tonight from St. Louis at 7 o'clock. And then they come right back. Actually, they got a game with the Ducks on Tuesday, and they just beat the Ducks 2-0 in St. Paul, tripped out to the Southern California area. Ducks Tuesday, and then L.A. on Wednesday. So Blues tonight, and then the trip heads west. Then they get the Blues' next home game a week from today in St. Paul. It is 4:30, quick break. We'll come back and talk Viking football. Yeah, there's been some stuff going on. Kirk Cousins moved on. They have certainly made some free agent signings. Dane Mizutani covers the purple for the Pioneer Press and will join us following the weather here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Hey, we did get a
call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Zach, speaking of hockey, we forgot about D3, UW River Falls women's hockey, a perennial power. One of the neighbors played for UW River Falls, had a great career there. They are playing for the Division III championship tomorrow in River Falls, and they're unbeaten at 30-0, according to our text line. So there's that. Earlier in the day, Twins beat the Rays 6-5 in the Grapefruit League. They rallied to do it. Wild and Blues tonight. Timberwolves on the road at Utah at 8:30 tonight. Loons back at home against LAFC, 7:30 on the Midway at Allianz Field in St. Paul. And Championship Saturday continues over at the U. Golden Gopher Women's Hoops. We should tell you, PWHL, Minnesota now leading New York 5-1 in the third at the X. And they're going to overtime number two in the NCAA Women's Hockey quarterfinals. Minnesota and Clarkson tied at two. It's been a big week for the NFL, a big week for the Vikings. Kirk Cousins has moved on. The Vikings have moved on. There have been free agent signings, etc. There was a trade. The Vikings at the moment have two first-round picks with the draft, the next big event. And the man who covers for the Pioneer Press and online at TwinCities.com, Dane Mizutani, joins us to sort all of this out. Dane, thanks for taking the time in what's been a very busy week for you.
Yeah, crazy week all around. Yeah, pretty much from Monday on, it was updates here and there, and Vikings probably one of the most busy teams in the league over that five-day stretch. So we made it to the weekend, and it's really exciting now to kind of see where the Vikings go from here.
Yeah, and let's start with the big story. And the question was, a week ago at this time, would they get a deal done with Kirk Cousins? Would the Wolves step up and give him what figured to be a ton of guaranteed money? But what emerged early in the week and what Atlanta was offering Kirk Cousins, I think it's fair to say the Vikings would have been silly to put that kind of money out for Kirk Cousins, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think Kwesi Adofa-Mensah probably agrees with you too. I think this was a thing from the beginning. The Vikings were always going to have kind of that lined in the sand, and it didn't seem like the Atlanta Falcons did. It feels like the Falcons kind of were willing to spend whatever it was going to take to get Kirk Cousins there. They have an offense that has weapons. They've invested draft capital into that offense, and they really just need a quarterback to kind of make the thing go. But when you look at the numbers, 4 years, $180 million, $100 million guaranteed, for a guy who's going to turn 36, for a guy who's going to come off a torn Achilles tendon, for a guy that's won one playoff game in 6 years in Minnesota. I don't think the Vikings could have gotten there. I think there was mutual interest. I think the Vikings probably wanted Kirk back. I think Kirk had interest in coming back to Minnesota. But money talks at the end of the day, and money's always talked for Kirk Cousins, and it's just a lot of money for Atlanta was willing to offer.
Yeah, and it is a tremendous amount of money. And in reality, the Minnesota Vikings have so many other needs. 2 years ago, they had that season where everything that could have gone their way during the regular season did on the way to a division championship. You had the Cousins injury a year ago, but they came back to earth. In reality, they had so many holes to fill defensively and so many holes on this roster that committing that money. And, oh, by the way, the specter of giving Justin Jefferson, the top receiver in the league, a huge contract, you would assume at some point. You just can't make the money work.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. And look at what the Vikings did on the first day of, I guess, free agency, the legal tampering period, whatever we want to call Monday.
Sure.
When Kirk Cousins didn't sign, that opened the door for them to really help shore up their defense. Brought in a guy, John Gernard, out of Houston, super talented guy, 12.5 sacks last year, instantly going to help that rush off the edge. Brought in Andrew Van Ginkle out of Miami, and then was able to bring home Blake Cashman. Obviously, he starred with the Gophers. Those three signings are a direct byproduct of the money that you don't commit to Kirk Cousins. Now, I know the Kirk Cousins stands will say, well, if Kirk Cousins, if you worked an extension out with him, you could have actually taken down that dead cap. And that's something important to remember, is that the Vikings are going to have to pay or against the cap $28.5 million, even though Kirk Cousins is playing in Atlanta. But I think people would say, well, if they worked out that extension with Cousins, they would be able to then in turn get that dead cap down. But I caution you and I remind you, that would be just for this year. Though the cap hit moving forward would be astronomical for Cousins if you signed him to a deal. And like you said, Steve, there's just so many holes, so many contracts that need to get done. This was something that had to happen if you're just looking at the roster build moving forward. They have to move on from Kirk Cousins. I think they understood they had to move on from Kirk Cousins because of all the holes across the board. And probably the most interesting thing I heard out of this week was even Kevin O'Connell admitted this is probably the right step forward for the franchise. He was a steadfast Kirk Cousins supporter. Yep. He was a guy who definitely wanted Kirk Cousins back. But I think even when he zooms out and kind of looks at this thing from a 30,000-foot view, this had to happen this week, and the Vikings are going to be better for it in the end.
Yeah, and the question becomes, what is next? We'll get into that. But I want to take a moment. By the way, Dane Mizutani joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Dane covers the Vikings for the Pioneer Press. You can read his work online at TwinCities.com. And I read your piece, and I thought this was a great analysis in breaking it down. Was the Kirk Cousins era with Vikings a failure? And I think you really did a nice job in that piece, kind of laying out his career with the purple, and you know, saying, yeah, you know, the Vikings did some good things, but you know, you couldn't say it was an overwhelming success, and they had all these playoff runs, as you mentioned a moment ago, one playoff win in his tenure here.
Yeah, and I think you have to remember, and I wrote this in the piece, why Kirk Cousins was brought here. He was brought here in March 2018 to win a Super Bowl. He was brought here because that team, as currently constructed, fresh off the Minneapolis Miracle, fresh off the Case Keenum year, rather than run it back with Case Keenum, which objectively would have been a bad call with, we saw the regression pretty immediately with Case Keenum the following years and the years to come. But they upgraded to Kirk Cousins with the goal of winning a Super Bowl. It wasn't just let's flirt with the playoffs here and there. Let's win some games. Let's try and get 10 wins. Like, no, this franchise wanted to win a Super Bowl, and they felt they were ready to do it. And that's why they tapped Cousins in free agency. So to call it a failure, I get why people would think that's a little bit strong of a word because there is such negative connotation with the word failure. But what else can it be? Like, you wanted to win a Super Bowl. You won one playoff game on the way. So it wasn't a successful tenure here. There were moments of success. There was that awesome 13-4 season where, like you said earlier, everything went right. They won an NFC North title. But then they immediately lost to the Giants. So it was a roller coaster when he was here. I understand why people would push back on the notion of failure, but I really think it was.
Yeah. And I'm glad folks to check that out, because it is a good read on his tenure here in Minnesota. So he moves on to Atlanta. I'm not going to get too far into the weeds on what was said or what he said after signing, but you'd expect a guy that got all that money from his new team to praise over and over the owner, management, the coaching staff, and the team he's playing for. So I'm not going to get into, Kirk and how he left town and what he said about his new organization, whatever. For the Vikings, though, and this is where the general manager and the head coach and all the other people that are part of that front office have to figure out what to do next. You have Sam Darnold, could be a bridge quarterback, could compete for the job going into camp. But in reality, the Minnesota Vikings, it seems as though, are finally going to figure out who the quarterback of the future is this year.
Yeah, I think so, and I think you mentioned it right off the jump, but a clear indication of what the Vikings intend to do, I think, came yesterday morning when reports came out that they had acquired the number 23 pick in the NFL draft from the Houston Texans. I don't think they acquired the number 23 pick in the NFL draft because they've been doing scouting and looking, and they really like a guy at the end of the first round. That is a move, clear as day, that I think sets up a potential another move. And now it doesn't guarantee that the Vikings are going to be able to trade up to 2 or trade up to 3 or trade up to 4, but certainly give yourself more ammunition to do so when you start to have those conversations. So now the Vikings have number 11, their current pick, and number 23, the pick they acquired yesterday. Those two picks should help you move up in the first round. And if you're moving up in the first round, you are absolutely taking a quarterback. So I think that's where the franchise is right now. I think Sam Darnold, not the sexiest signing, hasn't had a ton of success in his career. There's probably a little bit of untapped potential there, and I think if anybody can get that out of him, it's Kevin O'Connell. But the Vikings aren't prepared to make Sam Darnold their franchise quarterback. The next guy is coming, and I think he is coming as a rookie quarterback in this draft, as a high first-round pick. I think the Vikings are going to hone in on some guys over the next couple of weeks, few weeks, when the pro days come. They will be out in full force. And I'm sure North Carolina's pro day. I'm sure Michigan's pro day, you name it. And they're going to decide which guy we like, which guy we think can run this offense, and which guy we think we can go trade up in the draft and go get.
Then the question becomes, say they move up, they get one of the guys they covet, they get a top four guy, they get a quarterback that they think Kevin O'Connell. Question is, does he go into camp this summer with the chance to start week one? That's a lot to put on a rookie quarterback. And why, having Darnold there, has played games in the NFL and was highly thought of coming out of college, is a good plan B to ease the new guy, the future, into the lineup. Can you let him watch for a year? Maybe not, but at least you've got Darnold there as kind of a, okay, if this kid isn't 100% ready to go week one, we have another plan. Because the three guys we saw in relief for Kirk Cousins a year ago, you can't go into 24 with that.
Exactly, and I think the worst way to handle a rookie quarterback is to throw him into the fire if he's not ready. And I think that's what Sam Darnold represents, is if this guy is in over his head, if he looks out of sorts in OTAs, if he looks lost in training camp, well, you don't have to play him because you have a guy who has started 56 games in Sam Darnold. But I think when you look at kind of what the Vikings probably hope, if they trade up and go get a quarterback, I think it's, the hope is that that guy is good enough to start. You hope that he can push for that starting job and almost force you to start him. But I think Kevin O'Connell has been pretty clear throughout his tenure how he feels about the development of a quarterback. It's a hard position. It's an even harder position in Kevin O'Connell's offense, which is very complex. I think he would err on the side of, let's give this guy time to sit, to watch, to kind of be on the sidelines and next to me and hearing me give the play calls and kind of watching him go down on the field. But I think you're right, Steve. This thing is going to be a competition in going into training camp, assuming they do draft a rookie quarterback. But I think Sam Darnold probably has the leg up right now just with 56 starts under his belt.
All right, and that brings up J.J. You don't go too far. What's the situation with him? I'm still convinced that he's not going anywhere, and they're gonna try and lock him in. But I would assume he's got to be thinking about, you know, in reality, what's the quarterback situation here going forward?
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. I think we'd be foolish to think he's not seen the news this week and thought who's going to be throwing me the ball next year. But I really get the sense that Justin is a confident kid, and he was really just being a good teammate to Kirk last year. I think they had grown very close, no doubt about it. But I don't think it's a thing where now that Kirk's walked out that door, Justin wants to follow him out. I think Justin believes he can produce with whoever's throwing him the ball. Now, that's not something the Vikings can now go take for granted and say, JJ is going to sign no matter what. Like, they have to be very, very pragmatic with their approach right now. But I really think the Justin Jefferson deal is going to get done at some point. I don't think it's going to get done in the next 2 weeks, the next 3 weeks, because, frankly, a lot of these deals drag out, sometimes to training camp, sometimes to the first week of the season. Just look at last year, Nick Bosa signed his deal with the San Francisco 49ers ahead of week one. Missed all of training camp, missed all of preseason, and they got the deal done. It's a deadline-driven league, and right now there is no deadline. I'm sure everyone would want to get the deal done, but the way that contract negotiations work is you give me your offer, I'll give you my offer, let's meet in the middle, and oftentimes that takes time. So I caution Vikings fans too. Like, if this takes time, if this continues to drag out, it does not mean Justin Jefferson's leaving. It means this is a contract negotiation for one of the best players in the NFL where a lot of money is going to get exchanged, and those things just take time.
Well, Dana, always good to visit with you, and once again, I appreciate your reporting. Once again, in the paper, the Pioneer Press, and online at TwinCities.com. Have a great weekend.
You too, Steve.
All right, there he is, Dane Mizutani. Good enough to join us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. We'll come back. The pairings are set for the Boys State Basketball Tournament starting Wednesday at Target Center and continuing at Williams Arena over at the U. We'll get into that. By the way, Xander Schauffele and Wyndham Clark, your leaders at 16 under par in the third round of the Players' Championship down in Florida. By the way, all the news, all the weather coming up at 5 here on CCO. All the news, all the weather at 5. Stephen Clark from Ars Technica. Did you get a chance to see the third test launch of Starship earlier in the week? Unbelievable. We will get into that. We'll get back to the sports page. Bobby Nightingale covers the Twins for the Star Tribune. We'll do that later in the show. Girls State Tournament over at Target Center. Two champions have been crowned already today. In the 1-8 title game, it was Goodhue beating Mountain Iron Buell 70-65. And in the 2-8 title, Albany led all the way until the very end. Providence Academy won it 81-78. Tonight, 3A championship, De La Salle against Benilde St. Margaret's, and in the nightcap, Hopkins against Minnetonka, a big Lake Conference showdown there. Meanwhile, the boys' state tournament slated to start next week, and the 4A pairings, 3A, 2A, 1A, all announced earlier today, and the big schools take over. Wednesday at Target Center at 10 a.m., number 1 Wayzata against unseeded Rogers. The noon game, number 4 Farmington, making their first trip to the state tournament since 1937. That's no joke. Number 5 Creighton-Durham Hall, the Suburban East champ, back in the tournament. They will play in the noon game. Meanwhile, at 2, number 2 Park Center, a perennial power, they fell to Wayzata in the championship game a year ago, plays Egan at 2 o'clock. And number 3 seed Minnetonka battles the Coon Rapids Cardinals at 4 o'clock. And then, of course, as I mentioned, 3A, 2A, and 1A will all play either at Williams Arena or Target Center. Consolation games over at Concordia St. Paul at the Gangelhoff Center, and championship Saturday, 1 week from today. Twins beat the Rays 6-5 earlier. Once again, the news, the weather, and then Stephen Clark from Ars Technica coming up here on CCO.
Oh. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.